بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد سورة الفيل when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم this is the year in which he was born صلى الله عليه وسلم that Abraha and the story is well known that he had built a church in Yemen and he wanted people to do Hajj to the church so nobody you know their hearts weren't attached to these buildings even though the structure of that church may have been much better than the Kaaba. And so one of the Arabs who was, you know, the caravan that would go down to Yemen, he went and he defecated inside the church. He's saying like, oh, this is your Kaaba, here you go. And then Abraha got very angry at this. And again, they're tyrant kings. And so he gathered an enormous army, an army unlike anything the Arabs have seen before. And he put his tank at the front, and that was al-fil, the elephant. And you have to realize that the Arabs had never even seen an elephant before. It's like seeing a dinosaur or something like that. The biggest thing that they would have would be something like a camel. Right? So this is a monster compared to what they were used to. So he came forward with the fil to pull down the Kaaba. When he came in, he attacked some tribes around, and some other tribes were trying to stop him on the way, and they couldn't. When he came into the Kaaba area, he had taken like the goats and sheep and camels of people that lived on the outskirts of Mecca. And so Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet ﷺ, went to Abraha. And they sat and they debated over this issue. And Abdul Muttalib said that, look, I want you to give me back the goats and the sheep. And then Abraha was shocked. He said, look, I'm coming to destroy this house. And all you care about is the goats and sheep. Because I thought more highly of you than this. And Abdul Muttalib replied to him, he said, that I am the Lord of these sheep and the goats. I'm in charge of it, and I have to make sure that it stays with these people. As for the house, it has its Lord, and he will defend it. And so Abraha, they made the deal that if he gives back the goats and sheep, they will leave Mecca. And they will let them, you know, it's them against the house. That's it. Basically against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they all went up into the bleachers, you know, the mountains of Mecca to see what would happen. Abraha came forward. They couldn't move the elephant forward and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped the elephant. And even when the Prophet is coming, if you know in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, his camel stopped on the outskirts of Mecca and it sat down and they tried pushing it forward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, حَبَسَهَا حَابِسُ الْفِيلِ He said, the same Lord that stopped the elephant, is stopping my camel now. And so the elephant wouldn't go forward, and as they tried pushing it forward like this, then the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came, and they came in tiny little birds. And they darkened the sky, waves after waves of birds coming in their beak and in their claws, in the talons, they were holding tiny pebbles. As they flew over them, basically the carpet bombing, right, they started dropping the pebbles. And you know, if you drop like a penny from, I guess they say the Empire State Building, right? You know what happens if you drop it. And not saying that that's what happened, but this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. The little pebbles would land on them, and it wouldn't just destroy them, but it would tear them apart. It would annihilate them. Until there wasn't, you know, they were all destroyed, including Abraha. And this is Surah Al-Fil.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول
Abraham, when he built his qulays or his church, his thought was that it was the structure of the building in which people's hearts become attached to a building. They thought if they build something fancy enough, then people will revere it. SubhanAllah, it's one of the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal that people's reverence is to the Kaaba. And it's almost an innate part of them. that the Kaaba, and you'll see people, even someone becomes a new Muslim, I want to go to the Kaaba. It's just bricks. And why are those bricks different than other bricks? And it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in a person, that they love this Kaaba. And you'll see people, they'll go to the Kaaba the first time, and they'll start crying when they see the Kaaba. And I mentioned this, that even the cloth of the Kaaba, in the olden days, it would come from different countries. And if it came, for example, through Pakistan, entire villages would go out to see the cloth of the Kaaba. And you may have an entire village crying. They themselves may not be able to go to the Kaaba, but they're looking at the cloth that will be covering the Kaaba. An entire village going out to see it. And for those who know the history of Pakistan, they'll know the truth of this, of all these people coming out. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that put this in the hearts of the people to revere these holy places of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also learn something interesting here, is that Abraha wasn't satisfied with his evil. Right? He has a different mode of worship. And in some, like Muslim countries, they have this idea where, let's just let everybody do what they want. Right? If you want to be a good Muslim, go ahead, but just don't bother us in our bars and don't bother us in our vices. And if someone was foolish enough to think that, you know, it's not enough, and they realize this from Surah Al-Fil, that it's not enough for those people to just continue in their evil. There will come a time when they will have to divert the other people's attention too. And it might come in, look, we need more business, we need to get more customers. They won't be satisfied just doing it by themselves. They have to get other people and divert people's attention away from the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah with Alam Tara, don't you see? And in preparing actually this seminar and Al Maghrib Institute, and I was reading about seminars and whatnot, and how that certain people, they're visual people. And a clear example of that is children. In kindergarten, they read picture books, correct? You can't give them a full text book, they won't understand it. You have to show them pictures, and then they associate the pictures until they get like weaned off of those pictures. But if you ever see a child, you ask him a question, and then the child raises his eyes up to like the sky like that, that eye movement is reflecting his visual thoughts, meaning he's remembering something that he saw. And when I was reading this, I noticed that the Quran also draws the people's attention with these words. That's visual language. Alam tara, didn't you see? Because if you're speaking to a group of youth, you can use visual language and you might get more response from them than using audio language. So for example, you tell them, okay kids, put on your thinking caps. Right? And then the kids all go like this, you know? And then they start visualizing a cap, and then they say, okay, what can you see? You'll get more response from them than telling them, you know, what did I tell you? What did you hear? You know, they might not be listening to the, you know, they say, go through one ear, out the other. They're not listening. But if you evoke the visual images, you'll get response from them. That's why you mention anything about television, and they explode in happiness and excitement. Right? Because of things that they saw. Oh, did you see this? Did you see that? And so a Muslim has to be smart in using this language also in order to get the proper response. And this is visual language. Alam tara, didn't you see? كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل? How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He did with أصحاب الفيل. And like we mentioned before in Surah Al-Fajr, that it's not an issue of, can Allah fulfill His punishment? It's an issue of, in fact, He's already done it. He's already punished and destroyed people. So it's not something that a person has doubt about. Allah Azza wa Jal has already done it. And they knew this. And they witnessed it. All of Mecca witnessed this. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the people of the field. And when this surah was revealed, nobody argued with it. You don't see in the books of tafsir that someone said, no, this didn't happen. They knew it. And they knew it very well. And it comes as a stern warning to the mushrikeen of Mecca also, that the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be stopped. When it was just Abraha versus the Kaaba, it was Allah Azza wa Jalla that destroyed them. And similarly, Allah by Himself can destroy these people. Even when we talk about Masjid al-Aqsa, and Muslims, you know, if it came to it, in the end, if there was not a single Muslim to protect Masjid al-Aqsa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could protect it by himself, Azza wa Jal. But it's a Muslim that must do his utmost in being a part of the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in supporting it. But Allah Azza wa Jal has the power. And it's a test for us to see how much we're going to defend the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this incident, Quraysh became, the word I will use here is the rookie sensations. Right? It's a Canadian word. The rookie sensations of the Arabs. Because all the Arabs then knew that they were supported by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah had defended them. And so their status amongst the Arab, not only were they in charge of the Kaaba and in charge of Zamzam, but now Allah Most High had protected them. And so their status was raised. And they were, you'll see that they'll kill their children because of their honor. Right? So they're very proud people. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding them of those things that make them proud, but directing them to what they should do with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and you'll see, أَلَمْ تَرَى, didn't you see it? And then you see in the next verse, أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ, didn't he put كَيْدَهُمْ, their plot, فِي تَضْلِيلٍ, make it go astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this, and like the Bani Israel, when they had seen the sea part, and they came out on the other side of the sea, they said to Musa, make us an idol like the other people have an idol. And they had just seen the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the case is much more severe in those situations because these people had seen the truth with their very eyes. Almost as if that if they disbelieved after that, they would be destroyed. And here, the people of Mecca had seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy Abraha and his army. And so it's almost saying like, how wrong it is that they would then disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not take this path of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 3, وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ, and He sent upon them طَيْرًا, like birds, أَبَابِيل. أَبَابِيل means flocks. In flocks. And basically it means groups after group or battalion after battalion. So they would come in waves, group after group after group of these birds. طَيْرًا أَبَابِيل. And you can use that word, for example, as saying, جاءت الإبل أبابيل, meaning that the camels came in groups. أبابيل. Actually, I remember in and I don't know if you've ever had a group of birds fly towards you. Have you ever had an experience like that? If you've ever been to the Kaaba, you know, and you have all those groups of pigeons, right, and they're, you know, feeding with the bird feed that people spill on the ground. And then someone will cause a disturbance in the pigeons from the opposite side of them. And then the pigeons will all fly at you. Right? If they fly at you and you see the power of those pigeons coming swiftly, and then you think like, subhanAllah, the grace and the beauty of these birds. I remember actually being in the zoo in Bahawalnagar. Right? And you've never seen a zoo until you see the Pakistani zoos because they there's no sense of safety involved. So you can pull the lion's tail. And you can ride the elephant and you can do anything. And I'm not joking. I'm serious. The guy was sticking his hand into the lion's cage trying to get the attention of the lion by pulling its tail. Okay, but that's the excitement of the zoo. At the zoo there was a bird that was flying wild in the thing. And then as the bird was flying, I could see that it was about to do one of its carpet bombings on me, right? So I thought, it came so swiftly, I could see it coming. I thought, which way should I die, which way should I get out? And if you've ever had that experience, there's no way you can escape it. Right? There's no way. It comes too fast and too strong, and you cannot escape. And subhanAllah, if you ever see like a hawk, when it flies down and swiftly, there's no way you can escape from those things. And this is the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَفْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ, and then these small birds, and like we said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to destroy a people, and even show the disgrace and the shame of the people, that Allah Azza wa Jalla will bring the smallest of His creatures, تَرْمِيهِمْ, here in verse 4, that they throw them with hijara, with rocks, min sijil. And the sijil is the baked clay. And if you've ever been in the desert and you'll see kind of like the bricks, it's like the hardened clay that they use. These were the small things. And even like sijil, the baked clay, if you squeeze it hard enough, you could crush it. Right? Even though they're rocks, but if you squeeze it hard enough, this is like the sijil, the baked clay. The hijarat min sijil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. And He made them like an empty field of stalks of which the corn has been eaten up by the cattle. Right? Inshallah, I'll try to explain that. Asf, right? You'll see in Arabic, it seems much more easier in Arabic than with all the brackets. Asfin is the plant leaves after the harvest. If you remember when we were talking about the corn stalk, and if the time of the season comes, the corn are ripe, you take the corn off, then if you go back to that area, you'll see that the stalk has been almost destroyed. It's withered away, it becomes asf, becomes stubble, it's dead. Asfin ma'kun. Okay, there's and this is actually an example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulverized them. And there's three stages of this. The corn stalk, after the plant is dead, after the fruits have been taken off, the corn's taken off, it's already dead. After that, a cow may come or something, an animal, will eat it up. Will chew it. So it's already dead, and then a cow comes and eats it up, and then it excretes it. So it goes from that to being chewed to being excreted. The three levels of destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. So it's not like someone just gets a bullet in the head and then they fall down dead and their body's all fine. These people were pulverized by these rocks. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying also that who was it that was destroyed like this? It was the army of Abraha that no one could stop. No one could stop. These were soldiers. These were army men. Very tough, merciless. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they were destroyed like leaves. After, when the fall's coming in the autumn and the leaves are all weak, and then it's eaten up and then it's excreted out, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such an easy way destroyed them and pulverized them and finished them off. And this is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the year that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, as ulama of Sira say, as a preparation for, preparing Mecca al-Mukarramah for the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Something interesting in this surah that you may not have noticed also is that the people who were destroyed were Christians. And the people who were quote-unquote protected were the mushrikeen, were idol worshippers. And we know that the Christians were closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the mushrikeen. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the mushrikeen and not protect the Christians? Because they later, basically, the reason is that the Kaaba was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was protecting. The Kaaba was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was protecting, and it's not about our personalities. So if Allah Azza wa Jal protects Masjid al-Aqsa, for example, and a lot of Muslims, and I mentioned, they'll maybe changing channels, and then they'll turn to CNN and they say, oh look, victory has come to the Muslims. And then that Muslim maybe had nothing to do with it. And it's not because, just because someone claims to be part of this group or that group, it's about their actions. And so you'll see the mushrikeen in this case, they had the Kaaba and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Kaaba. And even though they were Christians, they weren't following their way and they were transgressing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them for that. Destroyed them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us.